What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jailai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jailai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jailai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
From the New England Patriots, he is Matthew Judon. What is your take on this Chicago Bears offense?
They have one of the top running games in the league.
Montgomery!
And then they also have a quarterback that has learned that.
Keeper Fields for the touchdown.
No, I don't see that.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NBC Sports Patriots insider Tom Curran. Coming up, Colts writer for The Athletic, Zach Kiefer. From Cobra Kai and author of the new book, Waxing On, Ralph Macchio. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've been talking quite a bit in hour number one about the Patriots' loss on Monday Night Football, where it was all set up for Bill Belichick to become the second winningest head coach of all time, passing George Halas against the Bears of all teams on Monday night. The Patriots coming in on a two-game win streak. The Bears coming in on a losing streak of their own. It was all set up to be a coronation. And then in the middle of the game, it was set up to be an anointing of Bailey Zappe as the new starting quarterback. And everything absolutely crumbled. And yes, we talked about that in hour number one as if the Bears had nothing to do with it. That will change in this hour. We'll talk about the Bears' side of that equation. And then the Bailey Zappe, Mac Jones of it all was the story of last night and totally wiped out for the time being the news that took us all by surprise. We came on the air at the top of hour number three yesterday like, whoa. So Matt Ryan's hurt, huh? Oh, wait a minute. He's benched, huh? No, wait, he's hurt and benched. And when he comes back healthy, he'll still be benched.
Wild.
And
crazy.
And for who? Matt McConaughey sending out tweets that Sam Ellinger's ready to roll? You know?
That makes me want to pick
the moment.
Up him right now.
All right.
Exactly. I believe.
In the same way that we sent out the bat signal for Tom Curran, or at least I did in the middle of the first half of Monday Night Football, we have not had this gent on, but hoping to make heads or tails of a shocking quarterback scenario coming out of week number seven is a guy who's been covering the Indianapolis Colts for quite some time after spending 7 years at the Indianapolis Star, now covering the Indianapolis Colts for The Athletic on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is Zach Kiefer. How you doing, Zach?
I'm good, Rich. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for answering our call to help make heads or tails out of this wild coin flip that happened. Why is this quarterback changing of the guard happening in Indianapolis, Zach?
Because they can't figure this position out. And if I'll be completely honest, they haven't figured this out for 5 years. You guys know what happened in 2019 and Andrew Luck retired. And this is just another chapter in the cycle. And this is where they are in the spot they're in. And to be honest, this move had been coming for a couple of weeks. This was not something, I don't care what they say publicly, this was not something that was just made Monday morning. This was a reflection of this team's displeasure with Matt Ryan over the last couple of weeks and really since the start of the season. Look, they love Matt Ryan, and it's easy to see why. He's really been the leader that they need, but you've got to win games and you've got to stop turning the football over. And they were just so inconsistent at quarterback. We're talking 24 sacks. That's on the offensive line. But the most turnovers in the league from Matt Ryan, the most interceptions, it's just been a mess. And so this was a collective decision, and the owner, Jim Mersey, had his say in this one, just like he did last time when they kicked Carson Wentz out of time. This was Mersey saying, it's time to make a move, and they really want to see what they have in Sam Ehlinger.
So Ryan being sacked as much as he's been sacked, that don't you think that has something to do with turnovers and fumbles and rushed passes potentially? I mean, I haven't watched every single snap of Colts football this year, as I'm sure you have. Walk me through the parsing of blame on this front.
Yeah, it's a situation where both things are true, right? I'm going to give you some of these numbers, and they're really ugly. They're really, really ugly. 80 quarterback hits, the most in the league, 110 pressures, that's the third most, and 24 sacks. 24 sacks is more sacks than they gave up in 17 games on Carson Wentz last year. So that's completely on the offensive line, and Matt's done just about everything he can to avoid them. He's a tough dude. He's taken some shots, and he's gotten back up. But what he hasn't done is helped himself. And so it's not an either-or. It's a both-and. Both are guilty. Like, the quarterback hasn't overcome the problems. But here's the interesting thing, Rich. Frank Reich yesterday said, "This. I need to be crystal clear about this. I told Matt on Monday morning when they made the move that we failed you. We didn't deliver. When they made this trade in the spring, this made a lot of sense, right? Matt Ryan comes in. He makes the smart throws. He plays behind a great offensive line with Quentin Nelson and Brayden Smith and Ryan Kelly. And he's got a great running back, right? JT, Jonathan Taylor, 1,800 yards last year. On paper, it made a lot of sense. But what Frank Reich told Matt Ryan yesterday, we didn't deliver. And Matt Ryan didn't either, but it's impossible to put this move in context without explaining how bad, how much this offensive line has regressed in the last year. It's staggering, and it's really hard to figure out why.
It is, and I'll tell you what, Zach Key for The Athletic, covering the Colts here on the Rich Eisen Show. I picked the Colts to win the division because of exactly what you laid out right there. You put Matt Ryan and his decision-making skills behind an offensive line, maybe the best he's ever played behind. You know, I mean, that has been the staple of the Colts since Chris Ballard has come aboard, despite the changing of the veteran quarterback guard, that the offensive line up front has been terrific. And that game against the Broncos, I mean, at one point, poor Bernard Ryman, out of Central Michigan, I mean, the holding calls and the pre-snap penalty calls on him, it was one of those want to get away commercial type first halves for him. So what has happened to this offensive line, Zach?
You know, it's funny. I think they were emboldened by the success they had with Phillip Rivers a couple of years ago. They were the best offensive line in the league that year. I think they allowed 20 sacks the entire season. Part of that is Rivers' ability to get the ball out. And then they go get Carson Wentz last year. And Carson didn't get enough credit for this, but he avoided sacks all year long because he's a big athletic guy. Ryan's not able to do that, but that doesn't answer your question. What does is the fact that Quentin Nelson has regressed, and if you watch the tape, you can see it. Ryan Kelly has regressed. If you watch the tape, same thing. Brayden Smith, their right tackle, they're on their fifth different combination on the offensive line, and we're seven games in, which tells me they don't know what the heck they're doing. They don't have the answers. And the fact that they don't have a star quarterback and they don't have a guy who's going to overcome that, now they used to, but he retired, it just spells disaster. And like you said, in that Broncos game, there was a point when Matt Ryan just lost it and started screaming because every single time he touched the football, he's got three guys in his face. So to be honest, it's not a surprise that Matt Ryan is dealing with a grade two shoulder separation right now. I'm surprised this didn't happen a couple weeks ago because this is the most expensive offensive line in the league. That's another part of this. We're talking three top two-round picks, including two first-rounders in Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson. The most expensive offensive line in the league is playing like the worst offensive line in the league. And I don't care who you have at quarterback, unless it's maybe Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, no quarterback is going to overcome that much pressure every single down. In that regard, that's where they have failed, Matt Ryan.
Zach Kiefer of The Athletic covers the Colts right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's still linger on the decision before we turn the pages to what happens now. You said a collective Irsay and Chris Ballard, and you mentioned Jim Irsay. That's now, it seems like, two times Irsay has asserted himself. The departure of Wentz, I mean, he was very vocal in placing the mess in Jacksonville and what happened in December and January last year right on the lap of Carson Wentz walking out the door. And you said he had a say in this decision with Matt Ryan being benched. What is he? Is he running the show? Is he doing that right now? What do you got for me on that front, Zach?
He runs the show when he wants to run the show. Now, he doesn't intrude on personnel decisions very often, but when it comes to the quarterback, he makes an exception. And you're dead on. He called Ballard and Reich into his office the night of that game last year in Week 17 and said, under no circumstances will Carson Wentz return as the quarterback of this team. It's your job to find a solution. And remember, they traded Carson Wentz without having a solution. Matt Ryan was not on the doorstep. A lot of people didn't even know he was available. And they thought that Matt Ryan would be the solution. And this is the second time when Irsay's had an input. And honestly, Frank Reich's seat is getting warmer. It is really getting warmer. And, you know, it's tough to judge a coach who's had five different starting quarterbacks in 5 years. That's got to be unprecedented. But now we're on to six, right, with Sam Ellinger. And this is a tough spot to be because, in a lot of ways, this team is built to compete right now. A lot of people picked him to win the AFC South. I'm not going to go further than compete because they're a mess. But it's going to be up and down with Sam Ellinger. Let's not call it anything like it's not, because it's going to be some good and it's going to be some bad. He's a young quarterback without an elite arm. He's going to take his lumps. But the reality is Matt Ryan probably gives you a better chance to win in the short term, but they need to find out what they have in Sam Ellinger. And that's probably going to, you know, get them a better draft pick in the spring. And honestly, the mood around town right now is enough of this garage sale at quarterback, enough of this trying to run on the QB carousel and find a new guy every single year. It's time to go find one in the draft. The problem is they have 10 games left, and it's going to be a lot harder to win those games with a young quarterback who's never thrown an NFL pass.
Well, and I guess that's a perfect segue to talk about what's next, because if you're saying that the seat for Frank Reich is getting warmer, if I'm a coach and my seat's getting warmer, then I'm going to go with a system and with a game plan that I know best and the one that got me to this spot with all, you know, outside of Josh McDaniels, you know, leaving the altar at the last second. I'm going to go with the game plan that got me to this spot, and that's the RPO game, and that is clearly what Sam Ellinger does very well. And look who's the backup of all people. It's Nick Foles. So have we, like, is that what we're going to see? We're going to see a lot of the RPOs. We're going to see Sam at the mesh point with Jonathan Taylor and Himes and everyone else. Is that what we got going on right now, you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I'm a little anxious to see what it looks like because, you know, this is a team that was built to win from the pocket with Matt Ryan. That was the entire offense. And the guy can't, you know, he can't move because he's got three guys in his face. Now, Sam Ellinger, there's some spunk to him. Like, he's made some plays, and I want to be very clear. He made some plays in the preseason against second and third teamers, and that's not the same thing as doing it on Sundays in Week 8. So it's going to be interesting to see, but they're going to run some boots. They're going to run some naked. They're going to move him around. And I think you're right. I think you're on to something. The sad part in all of this is the Colts have one of the very best players in football who has largely been a non-factor the entire season, like Jonathan Taylor. How is a team with Jonathan Taylor on its roster ranked 30th in the league in rushing? And it's not just because he missed two games due to injury. It's because he's been bottled up because there's nowhere to go. And I think what Sam can do, if Sam can pick up some third downs with his legs and kind of move laterally in the pocket and basically pressure the defense in different spots, I think that might open up a little bit more in the run game because I've never seen a guy make more 3-yard runs, 8-yard runs, right? Like JT has nowhere to go. And I think a lot of that is because defenses know the Colts cannot push the ball down the field. Maybe Ellinger gives them another wrinkle, but at this point, they'll take anything they can get because this offense is just a mess right now.
So the fact that Foles is 2 right now might be because of that grade 2 shoulder issue that Ryan has. Is your best estimate that Matt Ryan's taking his last snap as a Colts quarterback, barring injury of everyone else right now?
Yeah, that's the reality. And honestly, I think that's tough for a lot of people to swallow, especially in Atlanta, because that was sort of the vibe, was man, if this guy just had a better line, he could still play. And we didn't really see a lot of signs of decline in training camp from Matt Ryan. But if you watch the games every week, I mean, the two interceptions on Sunday in Tennessee were just inexcusable. So barring injury, Matt Ryan won't throw another pass for the Colts this season. And it was made very clear yesterday, this is Sam Ellinger's team for the rest of this season.
Wow. I got two more for you, Zach Kiefer, the Colts reporter and insider for The Athletic. The Washington Commanders are coming in. I'm very familiar with Lucas Oil Stadium, having been there every single year for the Combine for the last two decades. But maybe you might be able to help me here. Are there porta potties that they could stick Dan Snyder to watch the game? Is that the game plan? Best you can tell, they're going to stick Dan Snyder by the.
How fun is this one going to be? I mean, you've got the Jim Irsay versus Daniel Snyder storyline. I'm kind of disappointed we don't have the Carson Wentz storyline.
Yeah. Can't have it all. Can't have it all, Zach. Can't have it all.
We do have Tyler Heinicke and Sam Ellinger. So
you do have that.
Who's not going to turn into that?
What are you hearing about why Irsay said what he said at the owners' gathering a couple weeks ago, and whether this is going to continue? What are you hearing about that, Zach?
The one thing about Jim Irsay that a lot of people in Indianapolis know that maybe not a lot know around the country is that he does not care about blowback. If you guys paid attention to what he said about Carson Wentz in the offseason, you know, those were things that I reported early in the offseason and took a lot of flack for. And then Jim Irsay basically came out and said everything in terms of why they made the move. And I don't think I've ever heard an owner just so publicly criticize a former player like that. He doesn't care about the blowback, for better or for worse. And honestly, I think what he said is what a lot of owners think. So I think a little bit of credit goes to him for having the guts to say it publicly when a lot of people won't. But I really do wonder where Daniel Snyder's seat is come Sunday afternoon at Lucas Oil Stadium.
And, having you on for the first time, Zach, we hit the Google machine, I'm not going to lie, to know your bio and your history. And I'm kind of with a bit of trepidation asking this about anything that's on Google, but I do have to ask you, one of the attributes of your 7+ years at the Star in covering the team that's highlighted here is you've written about Pat McAfee's poker skills. I'll bite. What do you got for me on that, Zach?
Oh, we could go on for a long time.
What do you got?
Pat McAfee, you know him, I know him, everybody knows him.
Yes.
Because of one hand of poker. I'll keep it real short.
Go for it.
This is a pretty epic story, and I wrote this story years ago at the Star, but basically he was this no-name high school punter who went with a friend to a poker game in Pittsburgh one night, this shady, seedy basement, and he took $100 and he turned it into $1,200 in one night.
Of course he did.
Pocket Jacks won him all the money.
Pocket Jacks.
He used that money to go to a kicking camp the next day. He lied to his parents, told him he was spending the night with his friends, took that money he won at the poker game, went to a kicking camp, was noticed by a college recruiter from West Virginia. 2 days later, had an offer from the school. That sounds like fiction, but I promise you that's exactly how it happened. And one of the more memorable stories I've written. Ask Pat about it sometimes. It's all true.
Well, we've definitely had him on right years ago, and he about sometimes him not being completely straightforward about his skill set. To get where he is. I believe everything about Pat, and so my response shouldn't be construed that I think he's not telling the complete truth. But the most unbelievable part of that story is winning a poker hand with pocket jacks. That's ridiculous. I don't know how many times I've
heard.
No
one's ever won.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a hand to use to bankroll everything.
I said, how did you become an NFL punter? And he said, it's a really long story. And then he told me the story, and he couldn't remember the hand.
The best.
And then an hour later, he said, it was pocket jacks.
Pocket
so, there you
jacks.
Go.
There you go. All right, last one for you, Zach. I know I keep saying that, but this is the fact. With everything going on, and you mentioned how the quarterback situation has just been churning and churning and churning ever since that day in preseason when my buddy Adam Schefter came out and said during a preseason game that Andrew Luck was going to retire. And he was standing right there on the sideline, fully intending to retire, but not having it come out in the middle of a preseason game. Everything going on and on and on about this quarterback scenario. Any reporting, any whiff that the Colts have ever called up Andrew Luck to just kick the tires and say, you're sure you're done? Anytime. What do you got?
Yeah, they have. This is a little shameless plug, but I put together a podcast series this summer for The Athletic, 6 episodes, that basically explored the entire question of what happened to Andrew Luck. How did one of the greatest quarterbacks prospects of all time, maybe since John Elway or Peyton Manning, walk away from the game before he was 30 years old? And there's a lot to it, and you know, uncovered a lot of old interviews with him. And I actually met with him last spring to talk about it. But no, it's not going to happen. He's definitely moved on from football. The Colts have reached out. Absolutely, they've called him. He lived in Indianapolis for the first 3 years after he retired. He was a mile from the Colts practice facility. And very much the specter of Andrew Luck still hovers over this team because of what you just asked, Rich. I mean, this has been a 4 to 5 year carousel. I mean, they have just tried to go with these short-term stop gaps, and it hasn't worked. And until they find the next guy, you're always left with that what if. I mean, I met with Andrew, and I couldn't stop thinking, this guy's only 32 years old. Like, he could still play. He's not going to, but 32 is not that old with the way quarterbacks are playing into their late 30s and 40s right now. So, yeah, they've reached out, but he has moved on.
Doors closed, but the door's now open for you here on this program. Great chat, Zach. You made me smarter, and I was fascinated the whole way. Look for more of my phone calls. Really appreciate it, sir.
That was a lot of fun. Thanks, Rich.
Right back at you. Zach Kiefer, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, at Z Kiefer, K-E-E-F-E-R, on Twitter. He's about to get a follow from me. That was very informative, and I appreciated that entire conversation. And clearly he and I just met because he just called a plug shameless. To me, hey, I mean, like, what?
Does he know?
Are
is
you
he,
kidding
he
me?
If not who? If not us, Rich, who?
And if not now, when? That has been our mantra since day one.
Jeez, what are we doing?
There's no such thing as a shameless plug. There's just a plug.
Just a plug.
And you should do it all the damn time and any chance you have.
Follow me on Twitter at Chris Brock.
You should just do, like, I should. I feel like I should call him back and say, you know, you don't shouldn't say this is a shameless plug. You should just say, you know, I did a podcast this summer called Luck.
Yeah, exactly.
It's available here. You can get it there. I did it because it's really good. You should check it out. Like, this, honestly.
Done and done.
Go once you're just like, I'm assuming Pat with Pocket Jacks. Just go all in.
Have you ever won with Pocket Jacks?
I have. I was just being facetious, but they always get cracked. Are you kidding me?
Always.
Are you kidding me?
Pocket Jacks never hold up.
Please.
Yeah, Pat.
Somebody has, you know, a queen and it, you know.
You can something dumb.
Or even worse, somebody has a nine, they're there, and then the board pairs on you.
Right. Straight.
You know, with an ace.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Please, man.
Yeah, Pat told that story last time.
Have I gone anywhere with that?
Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
The punting story.
Yeah, we've
recall
that.
Him
we've
telling me.
By the way, did I just give a hand that still would cause me to win with Jax? I think I'm doing that.
Yeah, you did that wrong.
I'm just coming up with any ways. It's been a couple weeks since I played.
Usually it's straight up
busy. Busy. Too busy, you know. Last week I didn't play poker because I was too busy rehearsing for that game in Munich that I'm doing coming up in week 10. See, I didn't say that was shameless. I just went ahead and did it.
Mooch gave it away.
That's
before.
The way it's done, Zach. Right there, I turned your poker story into a plug for me. That's the way it's done. When we come back, we're going to give our props to the Bears. Yeah, baby.
The Bears.
We're going to do it. And then, sir, I might turn to my right and talk about who's next.
I mean,
for Chicago.
Come get some.
Okay.
Want some? Get some.
Come get some.
Me?
That's called a
come
car.
Get some.
Not shameless at all. Stay tuned. 2000, 2008, 2022. When it comes to the economy, those are some scary years. Dot-com crash, housing crash, and the roller coaster we're kind of going through right now. One thing is certain, it's a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is simple. NetSuite. It's why 93% of customers say they improve their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richpod right now. netsuite.com/richpod. netsuite.com/richpod. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection. Back here on our program, we just showed for our terrestrial radio audience, we just showed a snippet of when Elizabeth Shue was here. Was that about 5 years ago? Herself,
I will tell
ago?
You exactly.
Oh, yeah. Hold on, and she was here to promote the Billie Jean King Bobby Riggs movie that came out years ago. Remember that? When was Steve Carell? Was Bobby?
Yes.
Was Bobby
correct.
Riggs?
Yeah. Yes.
And Emma Stone was Billie Jean King, and Elizabeth Shue played Bobby Riggs' wife in it. And I just remember getting a call, I think it was probably Liz Weld, saying, you know, do you want Elizabeth Shue? And before she could say Shue, I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I'm telling you, out of all the interviews that I've conducted here, one of my proudest, when was this?
It was September of 17.
September of 17. Interviewing Elizabeth Shue, I was in the zone.
I was in the zone.
I was in the zone. I don't know if I was literally, I don't know if I was here. Now, you watched me give a speech to the Michigan Wolverine football team years ago
when I was out.
I blacked out, right?
When
you were watching that, you were like, who is that guy, right? You were like,
and it started a little slow, and then you really got into it, and you were feeling yourself, and like, you were literally channeling Bo Schembechler, or you left your body.
And that was me here interviewing Elizabeth Shue. When you meet somebody and they meet your expectations.
So delightful.
Oh, my gosh.
It was really the only word for it. She was very delightful.
I don't think we talked even about Back to the Future, right? Did we even hit that with her? I don't even think we got on that subject matter with her.
Yeah, because she was in two. She was in two.
I know that. We got to get her back. That's all I have to say.
Oh, I'm
you, Ralph Macchio.
You
on
can
hour
make
three.
That happen. That's the thing. That you ask for someone, then they come.
Yeah. Oh, is that right? Is that what it works?
Ask them and they will come.
That's how that works.
Hey, why don't you come on our show? They're like, sure.
I had no idea. So, Bears fans, I know how you're feeling. I know how you're feeling. Because you just watched your team punk Belichick and the Patriots in Gillette on a Monday night.
It's funny you use that word.
You just watched them do it. And all everyone's talking about, and we're guilty charged. Hour one, it was all about Zappy this and Mac Jones that. What's Belichick doing? And Mac Jones is a quarterback of the moment last year. He was a rookie last year, and he was terrific. And look at him now. And you could basically say, well, our rookie quarterback last year, look at him now. Look what he just did against Mac Jones. Why aren't you talking about them? And I know how you feel. Last week, one of the greatest Jet wins I can remember. Sitting on Aaron Rodgers' lap, Quinnen Williams and everybody, like Aaron Rodgers was a Santa Claus mall guy. Sitting in a mall like he's Santa Claus.
Like bad Santa.
Like, right? Sitting on his lap, and all we're hearing is, what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers? What's going on with the Packers? Are they in trouble? Well, what about the Jets? And so Bears fans, guilty as charged, coming on the air, but now it's time to talk about the Chicago Bears. Yes. A Chicago Bears team that ran against Bill Belichick, and this is supposed to be the guy who takes away what you do best. And you just came in to this game with a 200-yard rushing performance against Washington. And we all saw that you had a shot to win that at the end. But it was a difficult watch on that Thursday night. But hey, guys. Hey, man. You got yourself a 243-yard rushing night, huh? Right?
Domination.
Last time the Chicago Bears had two straight games of over 200 yards rushing? 1985. What did they do that year? Yeah. I'm not saying you're winning the Super Bowl this year, but it's been a long time, huh?
It's been a while.
You're seeing it. The defense. Four takeaways for that defense.
How many tipped balls last night?
The reason why we're talking about Zappe and Mac Jones and whatever is, yeah, Belichick had some plan that no one really understands about playing both. But the reason why we're talking about how it totally backfired and it looked like they don't know what they're doing in New England is because the Bears made them look that way. They're taking kicks in the nards and then turning around and picking the guy off and benching him.
Then he kicked him in the ding-ding.
Justin Fields. Let's talk about him, shall we? 179 yards passing, 82 yards rushing. A touchdown in each, throwing and running. 10 of 11 on third down they converted. 10 of 11 on third against Belichick. And that defense, when they were balling out, as a matter of fact, of the 10 first downs that they converted on third, Justin Fields converted 5 of them throwing and 5 of them him running. Yeah, man. That's what we're seeing. And in case you might be wondering, what's going on? I got one word. Eberflus! Yeah, man, Matt Eberflus. He's selling something, and clearly people are buying it. Clearly people in Chicago in that locker room are buying it. And he's also being smart. You know, on Monday's show, I said, we're going to have a new segment saying, I don't get it.
That ended up being a pretty good segment.
Well, thank you. I think we should keep doing it. I don't get it. One of the things I don't get in the NFL is coaches turning down field goals like it's nothing. Like the 3 points don't matter. Let's keep going for it. Let's go for it. What is it? 4th and 3? Who cares? 4th and 5? Who cares? Let's go for it. They play football, these coaches, in the NFL these days. Like they're 8 years old, playing Madden, hopped up on a bag of Skittles.
Do you get knocked up off Skittles?
Oh, dude, sugar rush from a bag of Skittles? Oh, hey, man.
Cage goes nuts with just chocolate milk.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's one of the few things Marshawn and I have in common.
Skittles are good.
I don't understand what these coaches are doing. Like, field goals don't matter. Last night, Matt Eberflus.
Eberflus.
Here's a perfect example. It's 23-14, right? 23-14. You're up by 9. You're on the New England 37-yard line. 3:50 left in the third quarter. It's 3rd and 8. You run it to Devin Singletary, to your running back.
Khalil Herbert.
David Montgomery.
David Montgomery. You run it to David Montgomery, right, for 5 yards. Just had a little glitch in the system there.
Sorry.
And you're thinking to yourself, okay, it's 2-down territory, right? 2-down territory. Why else would you run it? Why else are you running it? No, you're trying to get closer for Cairo Santos.
Cairo.
Because his leg, you keep building. It's 4th and 3 at the New England 32. How many head coaches in 2022 would say, you know what? I'm going with my gut. Or you know what? The analytics say, let's go for it. Because if I get it here, I can keep the clock moving along. And guess what? You know what sounds better than 26-14? 30-14. That sounds much better. And suddenly you turn it over and Bailey Zappe starts turning things over. And then maybe it gets close enough that the plan to put Mac Jones back in the game happens. No. Eberflus took the 3, and I'm sitting there going, yes. Yes, you actually ran the ball. Troy Aikman pointed out, you actually ran the ball to get closer for your field goal kicker. I can't believe such a thing happens in the NFL anymore. Way to go, Eberflus. Keep stacking the 3s. Stacking the 3s until you get a pick 6 to wrap it up. 33-14. That's how you go into New England when nobody expects it. Everybody ready to pass George Halas and watch Belichick have that moment against the Bears. It's such a nice, neat story where Belichick plays both quarterbacks. So unconventional, and it works out, and he passes George Halas, and this team's now got a three-game win streak. You know, I had a bit different ideas. These Bears. And I'll tell you what, TJ, next up is Dallas. In Dallas, another game where all four of us on game day morning, I'll be one of them, we're choosing Dallas.
As you should.
We're choosing Dallas. All four of us will be there. Choosing Dallas. Stars on the side of the helmet, stars up on the screen, four across. Me, Mooch, Kurt, and Irv. You know Irv's not taking the Bears.
Of course not.
But they've got this, they've got the plan. And they've got a kid. Justin Fields played his best game as a pro, and you could see the OC Luke Getsy's now getting it himself. Some of these runs that they're dialing up for Fields, they're smart and they're well timed, and you ran one in on one. And he's taken off and he's finding the open receivers. He's playing slower while running faster. I like what I'm seeing from him. That was a huggy drop game, and he went into New England on a night where Bill Belichick was supposed to pass the founder of their team, and everyone was ready to talk about it, and he's like, nope, not today, like Game of Thrones. I loved it. I loved it. And, you know, I wouldn't sleep on the Bears next week because that does sound like one of those games. One of those, you got a bye coming up, feeling good. Dak's back. He broke a sweat. Got that win against the Lions. And here come the Bears, man, running straight downhill with David Montgomery, Khalil Herbert, right? Justin Fields. Why not? Right, Christopher?
I didn't see last night coming, so why not?
Why not, TJ?
Well, I can give you a list of reasons.
Yeah, go for it.
Not.
No, go for it. Go for it.
A list of reasons?
Because you could have given me Matt Judon, who was terrific last night. You could have given me Belichick's
defense. I'll
start
with DeMarcus Lawrence, and then Jason go to Micah Jones. Parsons, okay. And then we go to Leighton Vander Esch and Trayvon Diggs.
Oh, now you like Leighton Vander Esch.
It was just draft day I had an issue with him. Okay,
that
was
same thing with you with Mac Jones, I guess.
I was right.
Well, my displeasure was much louder than his, I have to admit.
He's generally much louder than you when
Rich,
he's voicing displeasure anyway.
I was screaming at AT&T Center.
Well, I have the video.
We have a
video
of me literally walking down like, Leighton Vander Esch, are you kidding me? But I just also gotten kicked out off the field. So it was a whole
You take
situation.
Things personally.
It was a whole
thing. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, this Bears team
you would have taken this
is exactly the type of team. You get a clunker every year in AT&T Stadium. It happened with Denver last year. It happened on Thanksgiving previous years against, Alex Smith's Washington football team. Yeah. I mean, you get a clunker every year where AT&T's filled with all those Cowboys fans, and then suddenly things don't go very well, and it's a morgue in there, and then suddenly you lose. It would be totally on brand for us to be ready to say Dak's back and Justin Fields comes in and plays a better game.
Can I count week one's loss as our clunker? Because it was a clunker, and it was there.
That's
and
true.
And hopefully we got that out of the way. Let's hope so. I feel good. I mean, who knows, though? Any given Sunday, right? You just never know.
Last night it was any given Monday.
Monday, yeah. So
Monday, Matt Eberflus. That's his new nickname.
But yeah, this Bears-Cowboys game is going to be personal for me and some friends of mine.
Hey, man, that was great from the Bears. They did it all. Once again. Last time the Bears won in New England was
Neverwhere.
It was the first time they did it.
Never.
The first of Neverwhere.
The first of Neverwhere. Oh, yeah, baby. I got a question for you.
For me?
Yeah, after the break. It's a good one.
Oh, boy.
It's a really good one. And more phone calls, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'm really excited to ask you this question.
I have a feeling I know where
that's coming next. Don't miss this. It's another shameless plug that's not shameless.
Eberflus.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. there is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Is that what you wanted to talk to me
about? No, here's what I want to talk to you about.
You just tried to offer me a trade in the commercial break.
Why not?
What is it?
Okay,
don't worry.
Whoa.
What was that about?
You're right over there.
Let's go to Lonnie in Los Angeles, California. What's up, Lonnie? How you been, sir?
Baby boy, you see my boys last night. You see my boys last night.
Yes, I did. I did.
I was so proud. I was so proud. Man, I was fired up. My whole butt sitting up here, I started perspiring. I wanted to hit somebody.
Right? Yeah, they looked good, man. And it looks, dare I say, repeatable. If they don't,
man, I was like,
yeah,
we got to get Aaron Rodgers. We got to get him.
Well, let's see. When do you get him again? Because right now would be a great time to play him right now, the way you're feeling right now, running it the way you're. Oh, you see, week 13. Week 13.
We got to shut him up. We got to get him. We got to beat him down.
Yeah, you got a few games between now and then, including at the Cowboys. How do you think that's going to go, Lonnie? How do you think that's going to go?
I think it's going to be close.
Okay.
I think it's going to be close because I'm the only person, I listen to all these shows, that had a funny feeling last night.
Okay.
That the Bears was going to win.
Okay, very good. Now, let's see if you'll be a little less measured when I ask you to scream the word Eberflus at the top of your lungs and then tell me how it's going to go next week, okay? Let's give this a little try, Lonnie. You ready? Go for it.
Eberflus.
No, Lonnie, I know this is not part of your DNA to start, you know, messing around like this, but do it. I want you get it in your gut, like the way you came on.
Yeah, he came on the call.
Yes, you did. Here we go. Go for it, Lonnie.
Eberflus.
Okay. One more time.
Stretch it out.
Go for it.
That was like a four, Lonnie.
Here we go.
Eberflus!
Yeah!
Okay.
What's happening next week, Lonnie?
Go Bears!
Yeah! I want to hit somebody!
Bear down!
Thank you very much.
Some Cowboys!
Lonnie in Los Angeles, everybody. This is our new thing. We're going to make every Bears fan who calls in scream Eberflus, and I want to hear it. I want to hear it from
Bears
there.
Fans, call us right now.
Yeah, I want to hear it.
844-204.
I want to hear it.
Come on, Bears fans.
I want to hear it with their
Adam
guts.
In the back is a Bears fan. You are talking to one of your own.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true. They can have a full conversation.
So next week,
yes.
Bears, Cowboys. You're the biggest Cowboy fan I know, not named Michael Irvin.
I was about to say,
okay.
Yeah.
Chris, can you name a Bears fan off the top of your head that you might know? Could you just name one? Like, you know, Charlie Yook, the King
Charlie,
of Spring.
Charlie Yook, huge
at the NFL
Bears
Network.
Fan.
He's
Adam Chudwin.
Adam, we work right, with he runs the whole, Charlie runs the whole NFL
Vaughn.
Network production operation.
Vince Vaughn was on Vince the Manning cast.
Who else?
President Obama.
That's a big one, too.
Ashton Kutcher's a big Bears fan.
Yep.
Do you know him?
Is he an actor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Are you watching it in Ashton's barn
next week? Where are you watching that game? Can I
share a quick story with you? This morning, I'm getting ready for work. I just hopped out the shower. I'm getting a call on my phone.
Uh-oh.
It's my godson, Bear, who just got an iPad with FaceTime. So
his name is Bear. Actually.
His name is Bear, and he's been FaceTiming the last two mornings to just say hi. So
okay.
I'm like, I'm running late. I can't talk. And then I felt, I'm like, nah, I gotta talk to
my man. Of course you gotta talk to Bear.
I called him back. I'm like, yo, what's up? He goes, Godpapa, the Bears won last night. He's six. He's so hyped up about the Bears. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, so you know, we got to watch the game together on Sunday, right? And he's like, yeah. So
okay, so he lives in town?
He lives in town.
Okay, so you're watching with Bear.
So
Bear trumps Ashton?
No, Bear is Ashton's son, Rich.
Oh.
See? You got to give him a little. Yeah. I mean, Rich.
With Mila. They have a child together. Yeah. And
his name is Bear.
Bear.
Yeah, after the Bears.
Thank God he's in root for the Jets. Yeah. That'd been an odd one.
Jet Kutcher.
That's a cool
Jet
name.
Kutcher's kind of a cool name.
J-T-T?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll probably be
there.
In the barn.
You'll be there in the barn.
Normally, I don't like to leave the crib too much, but I'll go up to the
barn. You're out all the time.
No, on Sundays, okay. I don't.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
You like watching.
So, you do know Ashton?
Yeah, I know him. I've known him for a day.
Oh, that's on.
To the barn.
Oh, this would be great. This would be great.
What are the stakes?
We don't really do bets anymore.
Oh, there's got to be a bet for
me. I thought you meant food.
Well, yeah. Steak will probably be involved.
Also,
EAK,
but I'm talking about AKE.
Mm-hmm. A little tomahawk, maybe.
Alan Dallas, let's take your call. What's up, Albert? Jeez. What's going on, sir?
Astrodamus.
Before I start popping pins and balloons with the Bears fans here, Rich, are they going to get you is the building going to get you like a work helmet with all the work that's been going on behind you recently? I mean,
don't get me started. Don't get me started. Thank you for watching on Roku. I appreciate that. Dude, I don't know what's going on.
I see this on the Roku channel exclusively, the home of the Rich Eisen show. But, you know, it's.
Yes, I appreciate that. The work is only in the 5-foot by 5-foot square space that's visible behind my right shoulder.
Behind you.
I know that. So another reason to tune in on the Roku channel and see what work's happening here in El Segundo.
You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to a big Bears fan that I know named Adam the Call Screener. And to be honest with you, Brock, the Patriots are terrible. You can't lose to the Bears.
Yeah, but 24 hours ago, we thought they were a playoff team.
Look at this guy no longer living in the glass house throwing his 6-1 giant stones right now at you. That's giant. You want to talk about giant stones? How about that, Al? You know, come on.
You know, don't believe the hype, right? Because it's just
nice.
Fine. I'm enjoying the season. I love it.
You bet.
I love what I see, but I'm not getting mesmerized. I mean, the Eagles, the Cowboys, they're the class of the NFC, and it's going to be amazing. If we beat Seattle, I mean, there are going to be three teams from the NFC East in the playoffs. It's going to be truly, truly amazing. But like, I'm not getting swept up in it. Where, you know, Bears fans are calling up thinking they're going to beat the Cowboys.
Brother, you go into the bye at 7-1, and then you got Houston and Detroit leading into the Thanksgiving game at Dallas.
9-1.
Let's roll.
I mean, come on,
let's roll.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's great. I love it. We're going to make the playoffs. And it's going to be fantastic. But like, this is no Super Bowl run here. I mean, this team is wide receiver challenge. Now go out and make a couple of trades before the deadline. Get some wide receivers, or get those other guys just to decide to show up and get off the IR. I mean, maybe we could do something.
Alan Dallas, everybody. Great phone call for Al. Comes on, drops the friend's name like Adam. You drop Bear. He drops Adam, you know, and then he starts calling your team crap.
Yeah,
previously glass-made house at MetLife, right? And then he goes hire register out the door. Well done.
I'm all in on the Giants. I got to ride with Danny Dimes now in fantasy.
He picked them up.
Well, it's not just that, too, man. But you are what you are, and the Giants are 6-1. What the Giants do is they come back on you. They take your punches. And then they don't make the mistakes at the end. You do.
Yeah, but that doesn't equate to fantasy goodness, and that's what he's looking for. He's looking for
33 points this week.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He rushed for 100 yards.
Maybe you should take Justin Fields now. Is he available?
No, he got picked up yesterday.
Oh, wow. Somebody won with him?
No.
You can pick up players in the middle of a week?
Well, he hadn't played yet.
But the week had...
Oh, boy. Wow. Ralph Macchio, we're talking Karate Kid and the best Joe Pesci story you've heard in a while. Coming up.
Weird league.
But the league, like the week was already going.
No, you can also in my league, if you drop somebody on a bye because they haven't been locked yet and you pick somebody up who hasn't played yet, you can grab them.
So if you could add Patriots and Bears. Created,
do you remember when Adrian Peterson came off the couch last year and the Titans had him? Oh. I grabbed him because it was announced on a Monday he was going to play, and I picked him up before any of the other guys in my league could, and I dropped somebody on a bye week, and they freaked out. Yeah. Like, they almost went Tommy Pham on me, you know, like full Tommy Pham.
rolled up and slapped you?
That's all fair, yeah.
I'm like, that's the rule. I did not break the rules.
Oh, I know. That's what they were saying.
I did not break the rules.
Hey, what's up with Murph? How's he doing?
Murph doing?
Murph is just living life large. He's actually returning to the poker table Thursday night. We haven't seen him in months.
He's back. Okay.
Still banned?
He's just happy. Life is great for him. He's great. He's great despite Wisconsin having an interim head coach and my Jets beating his Packers. Oh, yeah. He's still fine.
Oh, yeah.
When I see him Thursday night, when I see him on this Thursday, the chest will say hello.
Are you going to
Mr. Khaki Pants, which he calls
the band,
Harbaugh? Harbaugh 7-0 and back to. Oh, by the way, I am just telling you, it's difficult getting to sleep last night. I was thinking about the Michigan State game Saturday night.
Yeah, are you going to lock yourself in the room alone for that too?
No, I'm going to have people over because it's going to go that well.
Wait a second, Rich. Rich is into Brees Hall, Rich.
I got to FaceTime by this kid, Bear. He's coming over.
Remember what you did to Brees Hall with that arrogance?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Hey, gents, let's talk Halloween for a second.
What is your favorite Halloween memory? One time I saw Nightmare Before Christmas performed live at the Hollywood Bowl.
Walking with your kids.
It felt so magical.
And after they've got their candy and they walk away.
So pure.
The dad inside the house is handing you a beer.
My dad, when I get home, he would have me like empty out all the candy to make sure that it's safe. And it wasn't until I was about 35 that I realized, what the f***? He was just eating my candy. Rude.
What's your favorite Halloween costume?
One year I was Matthew McConaughey's character from Dazed and Confused.
One year I was like, I would like to be roadkill.
The Halloween costume was a plastic smock and then a really scratchy plastic mask. I mean, you were styling if you had one of those.
Aquaman, the plastic mask cutting into your eyes and then you get that little hole in the mouth to breathe through all night long.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
What's your favorite candy, Mandy? Oh, that rhymes.
Anything Reese's, Snickers bars.
It's all the food groups.
It's a meal.
Nuts, you got caramel, yes.
Candy corn.
I love me too. Corn.
Wait, really?
I'm one of the small percent of people who actually really enjoys candy corn. It gets a bad rap.
Thank you so much, everyone. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween from the Cumulus Podcast Network. Make sure to subscribe and follow us at youtube.com/CumulusPodcast.
Candy corn is terrible. It's atrocious. It shouldn't be allowed. It's not a candy.
Ooh. Happy Halloween.